And welcome into the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you. Hope everybody is off to a fabulous start this morning. Joe Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing fine. Probably a little bit better rested than you two guys are.
Beautiful stuff last night. Staying up doing the pre and post game show for the Preds and the Kraken, for the Preds to lay a goose egg out there. I did wrap up the post game show by about 12:30, Joe. So that was fun. Good stuff. Not that long ago. This is kind of like the post game show to the post game show.
Well, you go post game show right into the pre-show meeting, right into the show.
Narduzzi was just loud this morning too. Like I couldn't get him to tone it down and understand that the rest just wasn't quite there for me this morning.
Yeah, he's still mad about that Cade Klubnik run, man. You gotta give him some grace on that, you know.
That's Clemson. Gotta watch out for those guys. Narduzzi, not a big fan of those guys. Keyser, how we doing? What's going on?
Morning, fellas. Yeah, doing all right. I did not stay up for the third period. I had to conk out because I needed to, and here we are this morning. Glad I got to recover for the last day, but I'm doing all right.
Yeah, Keyser fighting through it yesterday, and now he's back with us today. We appreciate Jake Lyman stepping in for him yesterday on the program. We got a lot to get to on the program today. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for his weekly visit coming up at 8 o'clock. So we'll get into the Titans and all things NFL with him. We are going to get into the Predators a little bit later in the show. They're now 20 games in and they're 6-11-3, which is not good. And by the way, they've been shut out four times this year and it's November 21st, which is also not good. So we're going to get into that a little bit later. With the Predators on the program. Take your thoughts on the Titans as well right now, 615-737-1025. Speaking of, you know, rough nights, rough days yesterday, Rex Road's getting dominated in Jared versus Joe competition right now. What's going on, Joe? What's happening here?
You know, this is what I get for, you know, I could have put a topic in. And I look and I see, and let me read the topic here. Joe Rexroad is getting trounced by Jared lately in Jared versus Joe. My goodness. Yeah. You just love this. Well, listen, the problem is I'm saying this now, when Carolina's deciding Jared's winning and predetermining
see,
Jared's
there
winning.
There you go. Caroline and I were having a private conversation yesterday. I think there's a little bitty saltiness coming from you in this topic.
Okay, no. Okay, if you want a serious discussion of this, I'm not talking about yesterday. That's not the case. But this is the thing, and I think this has happened both ways. But if you know what both sides are going to say, like if you already have heard us talking on the radio and we're totally at odds on something, and then you make that the basis for the win, then you have predetermined the winner. Tell me, how am I wrong about that? I mean, to me, you have to, and it's not easy. I mean, I wouldn't want to do it, but like you have to come up with something where you don't know what our answers will be, or that can't be like the basis for who wins. Am I right? Or am I right?
I think there's great, you know, character and quality and all these things in our competition. That's what I think.
Okay.
I don't doubt Caroline's motives in this competition. That's what I believe.
Well, it's not doubting her motives. It's just that it's kind of just like you have to come up with something more unique, right? Like if this was last week, was just the whole like should you fire Ran, right, or whatever. Right. And so I'm like, no, and he's like, yes. Well, you know, sorry, Jared wins. Like, okay, well then you knew Jared was going to win. I mean, there's just there's no arguing about that. But, you know, I really do. I think we need to end Jared versus Joe.
Really?
Yeah, it's stale, man. But see, I'll wait until I quote unquote win one. And then I think we need to mix it up. I think PK versus Jared would
do it. Hey, now we're talking.
He would do it. PK would do it. So,
well, there was a time that you wanted to just switch it up and let me be the judge, but I guess that went out the window a few weeks ago. I just no longer am trusted by you to do the judging properly.
No, it's not that. That'd be fine too. I mean, I think that switching, at least letting our show have it half the time, would be doing something to also freshen it up, but it's stale. And as that, but again, I know people are gonna be, oh, well, you're just a sore loser, sour grapes. So I couldn't. I hope Jared wins all the rest. I do.
Okay. All right. All right.
In fact, from now on, I'm going to do everything I can to help Jared win because he gets excited about winning. Jared versus Joe. So I am devoted to him winning from now on.
Lenny says Jared is the Jake Paul of radio. Does that mean he enjoys beating up on old men? It kind of happened yesterday in the competition.
There you go. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, the only thing I really know about Jake Paul is, yeah, he does do that. He beats washed up boxers, and he used to be like some like YouTube dancer or some video game dude, right? Is
Nice.
that?
I know that YouTube is involved somehow, some way. This is where I am not, as they say, one of the cool kids anymore. That's about the extent of my knowledge of the Paul brothers. I know there's two of them.
Oh yeah, that's right. There's another one too. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Text line. You know, if you want to weigh in, we can make this our question of the day.
Yeah.
Why don't we? Speaking of that, why don't we have Jared versus the other Joe? We could
Well,
start doing Jared versus the other Joe. What
maybe
about that?
rotate it around. It doesn't have to be just one singular Joe. I mean, we can rotate this thing around to multiple Joes. I think we might be onto something here.
Yeah, we could do. You know, you could. I mean, I think there's some weeks recently where Jared versus Derek would have been great,
I
right? Like
agree.
they're totally at odds on like the Rancarthon stuff. I mean, here and there, all of a sudden, Adam versus Robbie, you
Yeah,
know?
why
I mean,
not?
what, who? I mean, I'm just saying, I think we can reimagine some of this stuff. So
Well,
just a thought.
we might have to do that. That may be something that we have to come to the conclusion of. In all seriousness, I did find the right tackle part of this pretty interesting in terms of, basically Caroline's question was, who is held accountable for the right tackle part of this, and specifically Nicholas Petitfrère, the way he's played, the idea to keep going back and starting him. And look, Brian Callahan threw it out there yesterday that he's going to be out there again this week. There's no recourse at this point, right? Like, you've gone and you've made moves on the practice squad. I mean, you're just grasping totally at straws at this point. But I do think, like, the deeper discussion of, man, how has it gotten this bad with Nicholas Petitfrère is a worthwhile discussion. Like, I don't agree with, like, Jared's assertion that he's just been this bad always. Like, even as somebody who was not overly excited about the idea of him playing right tackle this year, he is not the same player that he was as a rookie. I mean, I don't care what PFF grades say. I don't care about any of that stuff. Just watch the guy play. Like, it's not the same as it was when he was a rookie. And again, he wasn't great as a rookie, but he was better than this. And it's been such an absolute black hole for that Titans offense this year of how bad that position has been. It's truly mystifying to watch it play out the way that it's played out. And now it's to the point where you know that right tackle, whether it's first round or not, has to be a gigantic project that the Titans have to get figured out this offseason. And on a team where you've already got all these other projects that you have to figure out positionally, like, it would have been rock solid. Like, if he was fine, he didn't have to be great, but if Petit Frere was serviceable over there, we wouldn't even be talking about this heading into the draft next year. But now it is either the top need or one of the top needs for the Titans, and it's very unfortunate it's played out that way.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That this has not been him all along. And yeah, the question, that was the Jared Wynn, was the accountability, which again, I guess to me there should be accountability for Nicholas Petit Frere. But apparently that's a no-no to say. But yeah, of course there's accountability for the front office. I mean, kind of a question of, was it obvious to everyone in the building that there were all these red flags that Bill Callahan should have known about? I mean, Bill Callahan certainly knew about the gambling suspension, right? So like, I mean, it's not like people were keeping secrets from him, were they? I don't think so. I mean, who knows why he's been bad. But again, when that fantasy football thing came out at the beginning of the year, I'm sure that all of them were like, wait, what is he doing? And of course, then you follow that up with like the performance on the field. And again, it's just like you look at all of it, and it's just, I'm sure there's a lot of head shaking that has gone on in the building.
No doubt about it. I got one texter that says, "How is NPF's fantasy football gig going? Are there any updates there?" I've not seen it, Joe. I need to go see if I can find like visual evidence of him participating in this activity because I've not seen any so far.
I know that he works with a former coworker of mine at The Athletic, Nando DeFino, who's an awesome dude, and really really likes NPF, of course. Nicholas Petit Frere, very nice guy. But yeah, I have not seen. I don't know. I think that there's some video element to it, isn't there? I think there
I
is.
think that was the plan at some point. Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I guess we could like, but we could probably find some clips, Probably, maybe we should do that. Maybe we should string some together and see if we can evaluate him on that and see if he's doing better in that than in football.
I would really start the Texans defense this week, I think. I think the Texans defense could be a heck of a move for you guys out there. Back to you. Thank you, Nicholas. Appreciate your advice there.
Texans might have a lot of sacks this week, folks. There's my tip.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. We're off and running today on Robbie and Rexro. Joe, we've talked a lot about the future of the front office, the future of the coaching staff, all these things. There's one reason that I was thinking about yesterday that we've not spent, I don't think, any time on that convinces me, or at least helps convince me, that I don't think Amy Adams Strunk is going to fire anybody. We'll get into that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We're back in Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Lots of discussion that we've had and we'll continue to have, Joe, about the future of the Titans front office, about what the future, I guess, potentially of the coaching staff could look like as well, thrown in there. One thing I was thinking about, though, yesterday, and it's a very practical reason. You know, I've said it last week. If you forced me to choose today, I would probably move on from the front office. You are on the other side of that discussion. But either way, I think it's going to be a discussion unless things get, dramatically better here as they move forward by the time the end of the season rolls around. I was thinking about this, though, Joe. If I had to lean what they're actually going to do, my answer would be that Rand Carthon, Chad Brinker, Brian Callahan are all back next season. And that's for a multitude of reasons. But there's one reason that I was thinking about yesterday that I think just viewing this ownership, viewing the way that this franchise operates makes me almost convinced that they're coming back next year. And it really has nothing to do with what we've seen on the field. It's simply this, Joe. Right now, she's paying John Robinson to not be the general manager of her football team. And she's paying Mike Vrabel to not be the head coach of her football team. Do we really think that she's going to do that with those two and then turn around and also pay either Brian Callahan, Rand Carthon, or both to not be the general managers and head coaches of their football team while she's already paying Mike Vrabel and John Robinson to not be involved with their football team? I don't know. That just seems like a lot of people to be paying and then going out and hire another general manager on top of it to then be throwing all that money that way. And I know it's the NFL. They make all the money in the world. I get all that. I'm just saying that's a lot of people to be paying to not do a job, Joe. And I think that could factor into it.
Yeah, I mean that's part of why I was at 2 point whatever percent. I keep forgetting the point, how much I had after the point, 2.6, whatever. Yeah, but absolutely. Now it is going to with John Robinson, I think that's going to take it all the way. And I believe it's a five year deals for both of those guys, 5 year extensions, whatever you want to call it, in early 22. So we're still we're talking more than 2 years of those. Now Vrabel will, I believe, will be that his will be deferred, will be cut down, obviously, because he's going to get a coaching job. And so
We
that
think.
will that yeah I mean if he doesn't, then I actually think it's out of spite, possibly at this point. So, look for that. If Mike Vrabel does not end up getting a coaching job here, then he may just be like, you know what? I think I'm just going to keep getting paid by Amy. Thank you. Thank you very much. But I think that that'll happen. Believe me, if anybody out there thinks that, because I understand if Vrabel goes somewhere else and if he wins and then it's just one more reason people are going to yell at Amy, I promise you she wants him to get a job. I promise you she wants him to get a job and take less of her money here.
People are calling her as a reference. I really, Mike's a great guy. Mike's a great coach. He's a great collaborator. He'll really work with you well. Make sure you hire him.
Oh God. That's fantastic. I mean, maybe the greatest coach of all time. I just, he was so good we had to fire
I
him. He
really
was too
hated to get
good.
rid of him, and I think you should hire him now.
Oh God. It's like when, Tennessee, of course it's different. It's not the same deal with like the college, but like trying to get people to hire Butch,
Oh, yeah.
but yeah, look, I mean, there's no question that, and it's like, there's other contracts too that happen from time to time. There's coach contracts. Some coaches try to get 2-year deals for their assistants, which also gives them a little bit of security. And I'm just saying, for example, so there could be other people in the operation that also have, contracts beyond just the obvious three that we're talking about. So you're talking about if if you clean house, what does that mean? How much paying of people to go away are you doing? And then how much hiring are you doing? As we've talked about, there's a lot still in place in the whole operation from before, like in terms of scouts and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I think that's a definite big reason why it's just very unlikely. Although I know, some would say it'd be courageous. I mean, to me, beyond this, there's just more information that I would want to have before I completely do this. And again, as we talked about yesterday, also, are you doing this just to do it, or is it, if you think you have someone like, okay, this person is the person. This is, I should have done this last time, or I didn't know about this person, but now I do, and this is the answer. Okay, well then that makes things a little different. But to me, to just say no, this is bad, firing them, and now let's try and start over again. I think that's kind of crazy.
Well, I'm not saying that it's the only factor that goes into this. Like, at the end of the day, if Amy Adams Strunk looks at this and says, man, this is just terrible. Like, this process is terrible. This is not what I thought was going to happen. This is not what I was sold. And I don't have any confidence whatsoever in the direction that it's going. Then ultimately, that's probably still going to be the most important determination at the end of the day. But, Joe, as you're sitting here, like if you're Amy Adams Strunk and you get to the end of this season, and you're making a pros and cons list of reasons to keep Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan, Chad Brinker around and reasons not to. I would imagine as she's looking at her bottom line and looking at how many people she's presently paying to not be here, it's probably going to say, man, do I really want to pay, two general managers to not be the general manager of our team anymore? And then, by the way, go hire another one to be the general manager of the team. Like, I can't imagine that's an overly enticing idea. And I get it. Like, some of the reaction to this is going to be, oh my gosh, it's the NFL. You see how much money they make? You know how much money is involved? And I get all that. And she's a billionaire, and I get all that. I'm just saying it's still, I don't think, is an overly enticing idea to owners. And not all owners are created equal in terms of their value, by the way. We've talked about that throughout the league. I don't think it's an overly enticing idea to just be paying a ton of money to people left and right to not work here anymore.
Yeah, and again, especially if it's just aimlessly firing and okay, what's next? So, yes, I understand the money. I mean, look, Amy is a billionaire, which is like n the reported net worth of like 2.1 billion. Okay, I mean, I mean,
Only.
she's one of the, she's one of the poor billionaires in the NFL. So,
Keep that in mind.
a mere 2 billion. But seriously, look, hey. These people don't get into this business, and I know obviously she inherited this business, but they don't get in this business to lose money or to spend a ton of their own money when they can have cities build stadiums for them. And right, I mean, like this is a money-making industry. Anybody who is invested in the NFL has come away doing great, but also like there's some cheapness with these owners too. That's part of the whole
Yeah.
equation. So, yeah, I just
I mean, apparently the Kansas City Chiefs are like the cheapest franchise on the earth. Like, you remember that player survey where, like, they, you
Yeah,
know,
F minus.
yeah, F minus and all that stuff. But I mean, man, they just keep winning championships all the time.
Yeah, it's, and this changed now, but one of the funny things for me when I first came to Nashville, have basically covered college football for most of my career, so I'd gone to all these, different places with their football buildings and stuff, and the first time I saw like the Titans facilities, I was like, oh my God, this is horrific.
Yep.
It's like, it's like this is like sub like FCS. Now Amy did invest in that and made it like a solid, and they have a good facility, but still, yeah, like the pro places compared to the college places, because it used to be that was what you had to do to recruit, right?
Yeah.
And now it's not. Now it's they're getting paid too, to their credit. But yeah, I mean, people still want to go to Kansas City, right? Because they have a good coach and they have best quarterback and they win, so they want to go win. But apparently, they're very cheap. The
Wes,
Bengals are notoriously cheap.
yeah, no doubt about that. Wes in Clarksville says paying three coaches and three GMs at the same time would have to be a record. I don't know, man. Like, like
I
the
bet you that's happened.
Cleveland Browns have gone through some coaches and GMs. You know, the Raiders have gone through some coaches and GMs. I bet it's happened before.
Yeah, in fact, I would not be shocked if it's gotten to four, one or the other, or at least
Yeah.
with the coach side, maybe not the GM side.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on the Titans, the front office, the decision that Amy Adams Strunk has to make coming up. A lot of your thoughts to get to as well on the text line. We'll do that. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up at 645. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, The Game. We'll have the best and worst things in sports coming up at 645. So we'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Discussing the Titans and the decisions, potentially, that Amy Adams Strunk could have to make at the end of the season. I threw it out there. I mean, paying John Robinson to not be the general manager here anymore, and Mike Vrabel to not be the head coach, even though I'm with you. I think he's probably going to get a head coaching job this cycle. And then turn around and firing either Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan, or both, and paying them to also not be here. Seems like a lot of money to be paying people to not be here at the end of the season if you're Amy Adams Strunk. I don't think that's the only decision that you have in this process in terms of your reasoning here. But I'm just saying, I certainly think that could factor in. David on the text line says, do top coaches or GM candidates really want to come here if Amy seems to fire so quickly compared to other organizations? What do you make of that one, Joe?
Yeah, I responded and I said it's a fair thing to bring up, but the answer is still yes. I mean, there's 32 of these. There's 32 of these jobs as GM, 32 of these jobs as a head coach, and a lot of these owners are, as I wrote it, trigger happy doofuses. And
Nice.
he came back and said, sure, but there are only seven or eight on average available each offseason. So, short of overpaying over longer term or an established QB, the Titans attract top options. But yeah, I mean, I understand, man, but like. Look, the reality of the GM game is, as we've talked about, first of all, like you get your shot, and a lot of times that's it. So in some ways, I mean, you could make an argument for being more selective. So maybe there are some, have there been some people who have been, we've talked about the hesitance and on the coaching side of like working with Jerry, right? In Dallas, things like that. But for the most part, I mean, you can't guarantee opportunities, So I think, I mean, I think it's fair to bring it up. Like, would people be scared away by how Amy has gone about her business here in the last couple of years? I still think ultimately, like, maybe if there's a really coveted candidate on either side, you lose out to like an organization that has a better ownership record. But for the most part, you're gonna still get really good people. That's how these owners, again, that's how these owners can be so bumbling and still have good stretches because one, the NFL is designed for parity, but two, because like you almost have to fall into hiring good people sometimes. You know what I mean? I mean, like again, it's like they all want these jobs, and so for the most part, they're going to be like, "I have an opportunity to do this. Okay, well then I'm going to take this job." And I mean, look, like when John Robinson came, he came at the time when people were still like the Patriots model was absolutely the model,
Oh, yeah.
right? And the Titans were absolutely the worst situation, the worst team, 5-27. All this stuff with like the sellouts at the time. There's all this stuff around this franchise that was terrible. And he came in and boom, they started winning. So, I mean, you can still get good people.
Well, I mean, look, the Cleveland Browns have continued to hire coaches and general managers. The New York Jets have continued to hire coaches and general managers. I mean, heck, even the Chicago Bears have continued to fire coaches and general managers.
That's true.
Had to get
Yeah.
one good shot in on them this week.
Well, look, and I understand, here you go. The model franchise here, Detroit Lions. But now again, I think it's pretty clear like they found a member of the biological family who has a clue, one in the Fords. But is it because Sheila Ford Hamp is like a genius, or did she kind of get lucky with Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell? I don't know. You have to give her credit for sure. But there's another example of a terrible franchise forever with bad ownership and bad management. Just some of the, I mean, you go through their list of especially GMs, but boy, they've had some doozy head coaches too, right? And at some point, you can figure it out.
And by the way, like John Robinson, I know it ended very poorly for John Robinson and it ended poorly for Mike Vrabel. That's two pretty good hires from Amy Adams Strunk, right? Like,
Yes.
I mean, the large picture of it and certainly the heyday of it was pretty good. And I know it didn't result in a championship, but it did result in a couple of division titles, some trips to the playoffs, trip to an AFC title game. And prior to that, it had been a long time since this franchise had sniffed any of that. So I guess what I'm saying is, look, do I think Amy Adams Strunk has handled things well over the last few years here? No. As a matter of fact, I think it's the exact opposite. I think she's handled a lot of things really poorly the last few years. Is it totally impossible that she could, if she does decide to move on, could go out and make some really good hires and this thing could turn around? No, that's not impossible. I mean, she's done it to this point. Now, that doesn't guarantee that she does it again in the future. I'm just saying, I mean, you bring up the Lions. They're a great example of it. We'll see what that results in this year for them. Hey, look, the Browns are awful. They're 2-8. I still think Stefanski is a good coach. I think he's going to end up paying the price for it. But like, you can be in quote unquote dysfunctional organizations and still end up hiring pretty good people.
Yeah. And look, I mean, and I think we're going to find out this, but we're still in the middle of this test of how she did in terms of hiring this group and then reorganizing this group. And then they went and got their coach. And again, I don't think that this season is going to be the end of the evaluation. I mean, I really don't. Now, maybe it will be, but it is still possible. As hard as it may seem right now to believe that this group of people right now in the building turn it around. I mean, it's not, the way crazier things have happened, especially in this league. They got some work to do, though.
They do. They got a lot of work to do. Terrell on the text line says, because you're a billionaire doesn't mean you want to spend it all willy-nilly. Speaking of contracts, people want to get rid of Levis. Is his contract guaranteed for 2 more years? Aren't we kind of stuck with him if no one wants to trade from him? We're going to get a little bit deeper into the Levis conversation in the 7 o'clock hour. But yeah, like, I mean, my first thought to that is, I mean, you could try to trade him this offseason if you wanted to, but if not, whatever you do at quarterback, whether that's a draft, whether that's adding a veteran in free agency, you could have Levis here to compete with said quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, certainly it's not. Yeah, this is not the NHL, so I mean, there's no guarantee for 2 more years. There's a dead money. As I wrote to back to Terrell, dead money of 4.8 million is all it is. If you pre June 1, if you move on from him, so You could try to move him. You could. I mean, there's no reason to cut him. I mean, I think that, I think he's going to be around next season, paid by the Titans. And if he's your backup quarterback, then that's not bad. And he may be competing to be your starter. He may be your starter. My guess is he will be on the roster next fall, but it doesn't have to be. It's not some non-starter
No,
financially.
and then that's the benefit of taking him where they took him in the second round and not fourth overall, like another franchise did. Which, by the way, maybe the Colts are just geniuses, man. They benched him for a couple weeks. He came out and played the game of his life last Sunday. Shout out to Anthony Richardson.
I mean, I tell you what, it's impressive the way he was playing and then the way he played last game. Yeah, if that's what he's going to be now, then I tip my cap to all those geniuses in Indy.
Or it could also be that they
Incredible.
were playing against the New York Jets, which I
There is
always have to
that.
factor into this discussion as well.
There is also that. Yes.
Not company you want to be mentioned with. And look, I understand that the record is worse, but my question to you is legitimate right now, Joe. Who would you rather be right now? Would you rather be a fan of the Tennessee Titans, or would you rather be a fan of the New York Jets? I throw that question to you.
Well, I think well, first of all, I'm answering Titans because the Jets, like the length of their futility is just astounding. I mean, their last playoff appearance was what year?
I think 2010, which is a long time ago. That's when I graduated high school.
It should not happen in the NFL. I mean, again, even the freaking Lions, like they would mix in a playoff appearance,
Yeah.
here and there. Like, so no, I would have to say Titans. I mean, I know it seems so long ago now, but again, your Titans were actually winning divisions not long ago. The Jets have not been. Like the Jets have not been to the playoffs since before Twitter existed. Like, that's not good. That's a problem. And it doesn't look any better now. It's just like, where the heck did they go from here?
I mean, I'm sure the last time the Jets were in the playoffs, I was having a heck of a day on MySpace. I bet MySpace, the chatter on MySpace, I bet was unbelievable that day.
MySpace, was it like, did you have like My Five or something like that? Or is that something different? Maybe that's a cell phone.
Oh, no, I had like, you had your like friend list, and I remember, when you're in high school, like somebody'd piss you off, you'd be like, "Well, you're not in my top eight friend list on MySpace anymore. What do you think about that? Probably a big problem for you, huh?"
Oh, it's a top eight.
Yes,
Okay.
I think it was top eight at the time.
Elite eight. Okay, nice. Wow, good old MySpace. That's I never got into the MySpace.
I will never forget these two girls that I was friends with got into a spat, and one of them took the other out of the top eight on MySpace. It was a big sore subject for a long time, big time.
It's simpler times, man. Now it's like these kids are doing whatever they're doing on Snapchat, and then it disappears. It's just a real problem.
It is
Don't even
six.
get me started.
615-737-1025, our phone number. It's time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
1025, the game, and the Game Nashville app.
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
Believe in miracles? Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week. Time for the best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things. On our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, as you do every week, kick us off with your best and worst things in the world of sports.
Okay, well, both of mine are outside of the arena of play. My best is, this week just reminds me that college football is built for, of all the things that are great about college football, the pageantry, the tradition, all the things that go into it. The arguing is just a wonderful thing, right? Like we just love arguing and our screaming about college football. I mean, I believe I have to check Wes Rucker's Twitter account. I think he has Indiana relegated to a rugby league in central Indiana now. And so it, like, it's just like the arguments just get at times absurd and they get way too loud. But what if we didn't have, what if we didn't have arguing in college football? What, you know, what would we do?
I can tell you this, like, I was going to sleep last night. I wrapped up the Predators post game show. It was like 12:45 in the morning. I was going to sleep. I just checked Twitter real quick, and Wes was on there at 12:45 a.m., which is 1:45 a.m. Knoxville time last night, still yelling at people about the college football playoff. I was like, here we go, Wes. Lean in.
Oh, man. He is leading the charge of screaming. But there, it's everywhere, and I just love it. And we're not done. We got a lot more screaming to come, and I'm here for it. My worst is Adam Schefter. You know, congrats on the sex. Okay. But like, bro, we don't want to hear about it. I don't want to hear about these things. Please stop. Don't tell us any more about it, bro. Okay. That's my worst. Congrats on the sex though.
For those who may have missed it, he was asked about the, what was it like the,
it's like, what's the
strangest place that you broke news before?
Yes.
And he basically, that was his answer. It's like, oh, thanks, Adam. Appreciate that.
Yeah, it. I mean, there are shudders, and then there's just like the full body, like that's what happened for me.
Yeah, nobody needed to know any of that. Nick Kieser, your best and worst things in sports.
Yeah, honestly, it's not anything in like crazy particulars here for the NFL, just all the drama that's going on. Because when I was sick, I passed out, and then I thought about, what am I missing in the world of sports? Well, I missed out on something pretty big. It was Joe Douglas getting fired. So there you go. I'm sorry. Yeah, he is the GM. So there you go. Or he was the GM. So them firing.
Yeah, he no longer is. He got canned.
I know. Yeah. But look, their coach and GM getting fired in the same season. The Jags also, the awkwardness, the press conferences are just gold right now. Watching just Peterson try to scramble for an answer is just hysterical. Danny Dimes getting benched to quarterback 4 is interesting to me. And just all the scuttlebutt that's there with that. I just love the NFL drama that's going on right now. And then my worst in sports, the Preds. They only have 5 games this season where they have scored 4 or more goals. And I think that says enough about this team, among another myriad of things that we could talk about, and we will later. But they just cannot score for the amount of firepower that they ultimately have, and it's really sad to watch.
Yeah, not very good so far. We'll get into the Preds a little bit deeper later in the program, coming up right around 7:30 on the program today. There's a lot of different – this is one of those weeks, Joe, where I got a lot of different options here. I mean, I could go with – the Chicago Bears thinking that they finally had beaten the Green Bay Packers and then getting the field goal blocked is my best thing in sports. You know, I could go with the officiating and the Titans game being the worst thing in sports. There's a lot of different ways that I could take this. For my best, I will go Dalton Kincaid and his 37-point performance. I thought he was outstanding, 9 of 12 from 3. And the conversation, now granted, a lot of this is coming from Vol Twitter, but even in the NBA, the conversation of, you know what, guys? I think a lot of teams in front of the Lakers at number 17 overall may have screwed this up, and that guy may end up being pretty good in the NBA, even though I know, Joe, he was at the ripe old age of 23 when he was drafted, which I know for some people is just a non-starter. He might be pretty good in the NBA. So Dalton Kincaid, my best thing in sports. My worst thing in sports is very similar to your best, Joe. It's the College Football Playoff Committee. It has led to a lot of yelling. And I'll say this, you know, as somebody who loves college football just about as much as anything in sports, I mean, to me, it's like the NHL and college football, they're right there together, even more so than the NFL. I love those two things. It is a little bit tiresome to get up there and try to determine what cock and bull reasoning the College Football Playoff Committee, and specifically Ward Manuel, is going to come out with and start talking about on a weekly basis. And I am probably somebody, Joe, who has been a little bit too harsh on Ward Manuel, because I know that he's basically just the spokesperson for all these people. But just the amount of things that either get made up or the same standards that don't apply from week to week or from even from team to team in the same week, I will say at times it's pretty exhausting to watch. But you know what? I'm going to keep watching it, baby. I'm coming right back to it every week. So they've got me right where they want me, Joe. And that's the worst thing in sports.
That's good. Yeah, I will say, you know, look, it is a hard job because it really, we've talked about it, but it's like there are times when the person who is speaking just really doesn't even know why some people did what they did. However, he isn't very good at it. Like,
no.
Like they've had past committee chairs who at least sort of like can like word salad you to death. And he's just sort of like, yeah, you know, they just sort of did it. Okay, thanks. Bye. I mean, there's just there's really nothing satisfying at all when he starts to give his explanation.
No doubt about it. One texter says the worst thing in all of sports is this Preds team. No heart, no unity, no passing, no organization, no nothing. Bought a half a season, and I'd do it again, but man, they suck. Last night was appalling, except for Juice and Wedgie, of course. This from an unnamed texter on the text line. We've gotten a few votes for the Predators for the worst things in sports. We also have a few votes, Joe, for the officiating in the Titans game, which, but like I said, I could have gone with that. The officiating, pretty bad. In the Titans game. Certainly a nice nomination for the worst thing in sports.
Yeah, you know, we haven't gotten into that. It does seem there's like some video of like, you know, Callahan going to Carthon and asking him about, you know, how many plays and things. It does seem like, and there's some talk this week about, you know, the refs being a little bit vindictive in some of those, you know, those like penalties on Prince and things like that. Overall, you know, whether that's really true or not, it was a bad performance, man. It was a very bad performance by these officials, no doubt. And it looks like it got maybe a little personal.
Well, I'm sure we'll get a nice detailed response from the NFL in terms of exactly what all went down and the officiating's, you know, role in some of the calls that were missed. I'm sure, well, you know, that's coming any day. I keep checking my inbox. I hadn't seen anything yet, but I'm sure that's coming any time now, Joe.
Yes, and full accountability for the officials and full disclosure to the public because, you know, that's just what the NFL does, man.
615.
You got to appreciate it.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back into the Titans coming up next. One question I have about Levis and the discussion around him at the quarterback position that I think could be really fascinating for the Titans heading into the offseason. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.